from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education is targeting e-learning universities implemented in 2018. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs showcases its achievement for 3 years. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir targeted the implementation of e-learning lectures at universities can be implemented in 2018. It was said by Muhammad Nasir at the inauguration of the building of the Faculty of Engineering Siliwangi University in Tasikmalaya, West Java on Monday, January the 8th. As written by Antara, the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education currently preparing regulations in the form of ministerial regulations for the implementation of e-learning education system in Indonesian universities. Minister Muhammad Nasir said the application of digital lectures will not be inevitable in the technological developments era in the future. The implementation of online lecture system, which can be implemented by long distance, is also aimed to increase the gross enrollment rate of higher education in Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi opened the exhibition of 3 years of foreign ministry achievement to explain the public about the performance and achievement of the ministry's performances. This was stated by Minister Retno Marsudi at the main building of Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday, January the 8th. The minister further said, the exhibition is aimed to enable the general public to more easily understand the things that have been done by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. In addition, the exhibition also to show that the implementation of Indonesian diplomacy is not only done by Indonesian diplomats, but also involving other stakeholders, among them Indonesian peacekeepers. As quoted by Antara, one of the achievements currently being targeted by Indonesia is the non-permanent membership of the United Nations Security Council. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan said the airport railway, which has operated since the end of December 2017, has in accordance with the expectations from all sides. The station has also in accordance with the international standard. In addition, the train speed is good enough. According to Minister Ignatius Jonan, the tariff is also quite reasonable, considering the train is not subsidized by the government. As quoted by Antara, Minister Ignatius Jonan in Jakarta on Sunday evening, January 7, said the airport train is very feasible to be a transportation option for people who will travel through Soekarno-Hatta Airport. Because there are 3 advantages to choosing an airport train, namely reducing the consumption of fuel oil, saving the time, and reducing pollution. The Maritime and Fishery Ministry's Marine and Coastal Resources Management Agency has worked with locals to replant thousands of corals in Gilinango Island. Barmawi, the BSPL chairman for Bali and West Nusa Tenggara, said on Sunday in West Lombok that more than 1,000 corals had been planted since 2013 to 2015 period. He noted that the agency has worked with the local government and the locals to transplant the coral reefs in the waters around Gilinango. Although the program has been performed by the agency since 2013, the monitoring and evaluation processes were started last year. During the replanting process, the agency had sunk 5 concrete platforms to the seabed. Each platform, he stated, has some 56 baby corals, or commonly called as planula. According to the evaluation conducted in 2017, some 80% of the entire coral replanted have flourished, Barmawi stressed. He further explained, the coral transplantation program is aimed to restore the marine ecosystem in Gilinango. Barmawi emphasized, apart of restoring the marine ecosystem, the coral transplantation program is also aimed to educate the locals and the tourists on the conservation program conducted in the island. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Batam Free Trade Zone Authority has granted its first investment permit in 2018 to Chinese plastic maker Hong Seng Plastic Industry, which is set to invest $4 million in Batam, Riau Islands. The company's president director Zeng Bo said the factory would begin to operate no later than the end of March, as Hong Seng had already secured all the necessary permits. He said recently in Batam that the company will produce plastic pellets in Indonesia and then export to China. He further said that the company relocated its factory from Vietnam to Batam because of labor issues. Batam was chosen because of its proximity to Singapore, which would ease shipments. The manufacturing facility to be set up in Batam will be able to produce 50,000 tons of plastic pellets annually. It will employ 190 workers, 150 of which will be Indonesians, while the rest will be Chinese. The number of local workers could be increased when they were able to take over jobs handled by their Chinese counterpart. The Indonesian government and businesses alike look forward to another rosy year in the tourism sector, as many large-scale international events and massive promotional campaigns highlighting the country's idyllic destinations are expected to woo potential visitors. About 17 million tourists are slated to visit Indonesia in 2018, up 21% from last year, according to a projection from Indonesian Ministry of Tourism. The ministry said about 1 million foreign tourists cancelled their travel plans late last year due to the eruption of Mount Agung on the popular resort island of Bali, though the country is still expected to have attracted a record high 14 million foreign tourist arrivals last year, up from 11.5 million in 2016. Asnawi Bahar, the chairman of the Tour and Travel Agent Association, ASITA, recently said in Jakarta that tourism is now the second largest contributor to Indonesia's foreign revenue after crude palm oil export. The industry hopes the government will continue tourism promotion programs and ensure future developments at potential tourism destinations to keep momentum going forward. The last item. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura I targeted the construction of the new Yogyakarta International Airport, Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta, to begin by the end of January. Corporate Communication of PT AP1 Awaludin stated that the construction is still halted by the process of land clearance. He said in Jakarta that the construction begins at the end of January since it is scheduled to operate in early 2019. Awaludin explained that construction has begun in areas that are cleared. The construction of such areas includes building air site comprising of runway, taxiway, and apron. He explained air site building is done at the same time with land site work, namely passenger terminal and cargo. Awaluddin said that the construction of New Yogyakarta International Airport is divided into two stages in which each will be built in 2020 to 2031 and 2031 to 2041. That was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesia Towards Self-Sufficiency on Food. Indonesia experienced a period of self-sufficiency on food, especially rice, in 1980s. At the time, the World Food Organization, FAO, even gave a special award to the Indonesian government for his extraordinary achievements. However, many years afterwards, the self-sufficiency on rice seems difficult to recur. Very often, Indonesia have to import rice from neighboring countries such as Thailand and Vietnam. Today, during the administration of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Indonesians decided to return to food self-sufficiency, especially rice, chili, corn, and onions, is likely to come true. In early 2018, it looks like that Indonesians' food self-sufficiency will be realized soon, as stated by Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman some time ago. The desire is further strengthened by the revelation of head of Agricultural Counseling and Development Agency of the Minister of Agriculture, Momon Rusmono. After husband rice crop in Kutuk Village, Undaan District, Kudus Regency, Central Java, Sunday, Momon Rusmono said that at present the rice import discourse is considered not urgent because domestic rice crop is currently quite abundant. Nationally, he said that rice stock could reach 1 million tons, so it is enough to meet the needs for the next 2 to 3 months. Especially next month, there will be a great harvest, so the target of 2018 for the absorption of 3.7 million tons of rice by the state logistics agency Bulog is likely to be achieved. If this happens, until next year, Indonesia will no longer lack of rice and food sufficiency target can be met. Several efforts had been made by the Indonesian government, in this case the Minister of Agriculture, to achieve food self-sufficiency. Take for example, it is through the Food Self-Sufficiency Special Report Program in 2015-2017, which focused on three commodities, namely rice, corn, and soybean. In addition, the government is also working to increase the area of planting. Based on data from the Minister of Agriculture, the national planting area in July-September 2017 reached 1 to 1.1 million hectares per month. It doubled compared to the period before the program, which was only 500,000 hectares per month. Of course, Indonesians' desire to return to a self-sufficiency state on food, especially rice, is not a grandiose desire that cannot be achieved. But it is not as easy as tuning a farm. It takes the government's hard work and also support from various parties such as agriculture counseling workers, farmers, traders, and other stakeholders. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for any phone on January 8, 1912, when African National Congress was established. The African National Congress, ANC, is the Republic of South African governing social democratic political party. It has been the ruling party of post-apartheid South Africa in the national level, beginning with the election of Nelson Mandela in the 1994 election, the first after the end of apartheid. Today, the ANC remains the dominant political party in South Africa. win in every election since 1994. The party was established on January 8, 1912 in Bloemfontein. As you say, Bloemfontein to protect the rights of black skin. One of the founders is Albert Luthuli. Until 1923, the party named South African National Congress. The Congress is one of the parties which has control since 1994. The support on the party was reduced in the 1999 general election, but they gained support again in the 2004 general election. The next event was in 1926. Abdulaziz bin Saud became King Hijaz and changed the name of region to be Saudi Arabia. Abdulaziz al-Saud is the first king of Saudi Arabia. He is also well known with some names such as Ibn Saud. He came from royal family of Saudi Arabia, which ruined part of Arabian Peninsula. In 1901, when he was 22 years old, Ibn Saud replaced his father as the head of Saud dynasty with the title Sultan Najd. Then he began a campaign to seize land from Rashidi dynasty, which is now Saudi Arabia. In 1902, he and his troops, together with his family and siblings, succeeded to seize Riyadh. In 1912, Ibn Saud succeeded to control Najd with the help of the Wahhabi troops led by Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab with the help of Britain. In 1922, Saud dynasty succeeded to defeat Rashidi dynasty and ended the reign of Rashidi dynasty on Arabian land. On January 8, 1926, Abdulaziz bin Saud became King Hijaz and merged name of Hijaz and Najd to be Saudi Arabia. And the last event was in 2003 when the accident of Turkish Airlines Flight 634 occurred. Turkish Airlines Flight 634 was a scheduled domestic passenger flight from Turkish Airlines hub in Istanbul Atatürk Airport to Diyarbakır Airport in southeastern Turkey. On 8 January 2003, the aircraft operating the flight, a British Aerospace Aero AJ-100, struck the ground on final approach approximately 900 meters or 3,000 feet short of the runway threshold during extreme weather conditions. The following collision with the slopped a post crash fire brought out, killing 75 of the 80 occupants, including both pilots. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the program My Indonesia. Today's theme is Indonesia and India agree to contribute to the community in the region and the world. Indonesia and India held the 5th Joint Commission meeting, or SKP, on Friday at the Minister of Foreign Affairs building in Jakarta. The session was chaired by Minister of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi. Indian Foreign Minister Sushma Swarajat also attended the meeting. Minister Retno Marsudi, when given a press statement, said that the 5th Joint Commission meeting is laden with a strong commitment from both countries to work together in providing great benefits for people in the region and the world. She also asserted that cooperation in various sectors is also a commitment of Indonesia and India, such as counter-terrorism through the radicalization program against transnational crime, including cybercrime, and strengthening cooperation in the maritime sector. In addition, there are also agreements in the security sector, politics, financial cooperation, and defense industry. In the maritime field, cooperation is done in the fight against piracy and illegal fishing. Indonesia-India cooperation in trade is quite good. In the period from January to October, the value of trade reached nearly $15 billion. Minister Retno Marsudi added that Indonesia is targeting the amount to reach $50 billion by 2025. India is one of the largest exporting countries of palm oil from Indonesia. Meanwhile, Indian Foreign Minister Sushma Swarajat said that India will continue to provide skill development in the form of short-term training programs and scholarships. Both ministers also discussed the increasing demand for skill development in both countries, given India has a large proportion of young population. Minister Sushma Swarajat also explained that India is currently offering nearly 150 training slots and scholarships. He agreed to strengthen cooperation in the education sector. Minister Sushma Swarajat also expressed appreciation to President Joko Widodo, who has accepted the invitation of Prime Minister Sri Narendra Modi to attend the ASEAN Special Commemorative Summit as a honorary guest at the Republic of India Day in New Delhi on January 25th and 26th. While in 2019, Indonesia and India will celebrate the 70th diplomatic relationship. Well, listener, that's edition of My Indonesia. Thanks for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir targeted the implementation of e-learning lectures at the universities can be implemented in 2018. It was said by the minister at the inauguration of the building of the Faculty of Engineering Siliwangi University in Tasikmalaya, West Java on Monday. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi opened the exhibition of 3 years of foreign ministry achievement to explain the public about the performance and achievement of the ministry's performances. Indonesian Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Ignatius Jonan said the airport railway, which has operated since the end of December 2017, has in accordance with expectations from all sides. The Maritime and Fishery Ministry's Marine and Coastal Resources Management Agency has worked with locals to replant thousands of corals in Gilinangu Island. The agency has worked with the local government and the locals to transplant the coral reefs in the waters around Gilinangu. Batam Free Trade Zone Authority has granted its first investment permit in 2018 to Chinese plastic maker Hongseng Plastic Industry, which is set to invest $4 million in Batam, Riau Islands. The Indonesian government and businesses alike look forward to another rosy year in the tourism sector, as many large-scale international events and massive promotional campaigns highlighting the country's idyllic destinations are expected to woo potential visitors. Indonesian state-owned airport operator PT Angkasa Pura I targeted the construction of the new Yogyakarta International Airport, Kulon Progo, Yogyakarta, to begin by the end of January. Listener, that was the news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Lego Dance in the East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, Alor is one of regencies in East Nusa Tenggara province. In this regency, there live some Flores traditional tribes whose customs have not changed much since Stone Age. You can find the glory of Alor culture at Takpala village, which is lived by Abui tribe. The biggest tribe in Alor still holds firmly their tradition, One of them is Lego Lego Dance. Listeners, Lego Lego Dance is a symbol of power, of unity and brotherhood of Abui people. The dance is performed massively by holding hands to hands, and the dancers stand in a circle. Lego Lego Dance is usually danced in all traditional ceremonies in Alor, but nowadays the dance is more danced to welcome guests of tourists who come to Alor, especially Takpala village. The villagers in Alor are very happy when being visited. The dance is the expression of the joy. Listeners, earlier, visitors will be welcomed by the eldest people of Takpala village by nose greeting. Then, the visitors are invited to the shady big tree. Then they hold their hands with local women to surround mezbah tree or altar which is under the tree. The visitors are welcome to dance, and the dancer will move surrounding the tree by being accompanied with gong and moko, a drum from brass. When dancing, betel nut and sopi will be offered. Sopi is a kind of alcoholic traditional beverage. Listeners, local women and men who dance wear traditional clothes. Women's hair are left to loosen and hooded. They wear silver bracelets at their ankles, which will produce clang sound if it is moved. While they are dancing, they are also singing and reading putri, but singing and reading putri are usually heard by the elders. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Di Bioskop, which in English means at the cinema. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Di bioskop. Di bioskop, in English, at the cinema. Hari ini. Hari ini, in English, today. Nonton. Nonton, in English, to watch. Film, film, in English, movie or film. Apa, apa, in English, what. suka. Suka in English to like. Film komedi. Film komedi in English comedy film. Film laga. Film laga in English action film or action movie. Keluar. Keluar in English outside. Beli. Beli in English to buy. Minum. Minum in English to drink. Maaf. Maaf in English sorry. Permisi. Permisi in English excuse me. Lewat. Lewat in English to go through. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Di Bioskop, or in English means at the cinema. The conversation is between Rita, Budi, and another person at the cinema. Rita, hari ini kita nonton film apa? Hari ini kita nonton film apa? In English, what movie are we going to watch today? Budi, kamu suka film laga atau film komedi? Kamu suka film laga atau film komedi? In English, which one do you like, action movie or comedy? Rita, kita nonton film komedi saja. Kita nonton film komedi saja. In English, I think a comedy film is better. In the movie. Budi, saya mau keluar dulu. Saya mau keluar dulu. In English, I'm going to go outside. Saya mau membeli minuman. Saya mau membeli minuman. In English, I want to buy some drinks. Rita, belikan saya popcorn dan minuman. Belikan saya popcorn dan minuman. In English, I want a popcorn and drink. Budi, baiklah. Baiklah. In English, alright. Budi, maaf mbak, saya mau keluar dulu. Maaf mbak, saya mau keluar dulu. In English, sorry, I want to go outside. Permisi. Permisi. In English, excuse me. Another person, silakan mas. Silakan mas. In English, please. Budi, terima kasih. Terima kasih. In English, thank you. Listener, in the dialogue, Budi said, maaf mbak. The word mbak is usually used to greet women who are relatively young. To greet men who are relatively young, you can call them mas. The words mbak and mas can be followed by the names such as Mbak Sinta, Mbak Rani, Mas Tony, and Mas Andi. Greeting for mbak or mas, which has been introduced in today's conversation, is the general greeting. It does not mean to greet the older persons. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again tomorrow with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the Regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some Kroncong songs brought by two of the best female Indonesian Kroncong singers. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Langgam Kerinduan by Sundari Sukoco. Happy listening.
Menanti dirimu sayang.
Langgam Kerinduan is an original Kroncong song. It's melancholic. It's appropriate to the story of the song that tells about a waiting for someone who wander looking for livelihood. The sound of bamboo flute and the glow of the full moon making herself increasingly afflicted. There was a glimpse of the song that has been dedicated very well by Sundari Sukojo, who earned the nickname of the Queen of Indonesian Kroncong. Her love toward the Kroncong music began since her father, Sukojo Rono Diharjo, introducing her to the softly music. His father, who liked to sing Kroncong songs, inviting Sundari to sing together. Nevertheless, Sundari said her love to the Kroncong music not just because she was forced by her parents. In addition to being active in Kroncong music, the singer who has earned her doctoral title is also crowned as an ambassador because of her concern in the education world. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cinta Kita by Hetikus Endang. Happy listening.
Demi cintaku padamu, kemana pun ikut denganmu, walaupun harus ku terjang lautan bara. Jiwa dan raga.
listener, the song Cinta Kita is a pop rock genre of song which has been popularized by Indonesian singer Inka Christy and Amy Search, a male singer from Malaysia in 1980s. The song was later brought back with Kroncong music genre by Hetty Koes Endang. Talking about a couple lover who are in love and do not want to be separated. Unlike Sundari Sukoco, who is known as a Kroncong singer, Hetty Koes Endang is better known as a singer who can bring well a variety of genre music, including Kroncong music. Hetty Koes Endang, who was born in Jakarta on August 6, 1957, began to hold her singing career since she was 10 years old. Hetty's art talent was obtained from her father, who was also a Kroncong singer. The talent was then continued by learning vocal with Ansi Manung Khalid and Yasir Syam. Her seriousness in practice brought Hetty to 38 trophies and 12 golden records from various festivals at both national and international levels. Hetty Koes Endang started to enter the recording industry in 1973 with a song entitled Dingin. Her name skyrocketed in the Indonesian music industry after singing a song Dingin composed by Rinto Harahap. The album was sold out to 1 million copies. Hetty reached her popularity in the 80s. At that time, she released 4 albums in a year. Throughout her career in the Indonesian music, at least 23 albums have been produced, ranging from pop songs, kroncong, to dangdut. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Cinta Abadi by Sundari Sukoco and the original kroncong song entitled Mahameru by Hetty Koes Endang. Happy listening, sampai jumpa. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.